So today we're doing a family service, okay? So that means it's not a kids service. So that's look at adults and say, don't switch off. Say, don't switch off.
Don't switch off.
Don't switch off, okay? Tell them to click their listening ears or click, click. And you click your ones on, click, click. Right. So we're going to do a parable. And a parable is a story in the Bible that Jesus uses to tell us something new about himself and about the way the world is and how we look at things, yeah?
Yeah.
So, kids, do you want to, you have a choice.
Yeah.
You can, do you want to all sit together or what do you want to do?
Together.
All sit together. Okay, so come on up here.
Okay.
And I tell you, so I don't mind if you need to get, they got to do the preaching, so that's what they're getting into.
Next month.
Now, and this is for the adults as well. So you know, like sometimes when people are waffling for ages, no, I'm not looking at you, I'm just saying this out there, and you're just getting in your seat. So you have to get your wiggles out, right? So you concentrate. So does anybody have any wiggles in there? Okay. So I want you to jump up to your feet quick. And sing a cocoa melon, it's like, let your wiggles out. You ready? I'm going to count to five, and you've got 5 seconds. Adults included, Bridget.
Come on,
let's get our wiggles out. Ready? Ready, set, go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 8. Okay, are we ready? Brilliant. No.
Whoa.
Okay, come on, everybody sit down. So we're going to look in the book of Luke today. Hands up, how cool would it be to have a book in the Bible named after yourself? I'm reading from the book of, there's Samuel's in the book. But I'm reading from the book of Jamie today. And Jamie says in the book of Jamie that everybody has to have a sweet.
Yup.
Would that be right? So Luke was a guy in the Bible. And he wasn't just any guy, he was a disciple. He was a doctor. Ooh, so that means he was very clever. Okay. So he'd been to school. And he was something that in the Bible they call a Gentile. Does anybody know what a Gentile is?
Yeah.
What's a Gentile?
Someone's name?
No. But, good call. A Gentile is someone who wasn't Jewish, okay? So in the time Jesus was around, there was only two types of people according to how the Jewish people saw, right? There was Jews and there was Gentiles. Everybody else was a Gentile, right?
Yeah.
And they taught the community that Jesus lived in that if you weren't Jewish, you couldn't know God. Okay, but Jesus had a plan, okay, and he wanted to make a way that not just one person or one type of person who may follow one culture or look a certain way, he wanted everybody to know God. Didn't matter if you had money, if you didn't have money, if your skin was dark, if your skin was white, if your hair was curly, if you had parents, if you didn't have parents, if you came from a good family, if you kept on getting into trouble, if you had been lost, if you'd done all the wrong things, it didn't matter. God wanted to make a way that every single person could know him. Isn't that kind of good?
Yeah.
And it means that no one can say, oh, I'm too bold. I'm not from the right family. I'm not from the right part of town. I'm not clever enough. Everybody, and that's for the adults as well, everybody is welcome through Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And Luke was the only person who wrote a gospel who was a Gentile. And God used him to teach us that point, to teach us that it didn't matter what culture you came from, didn't matter what you look like, didn't matter if you went to school, if you didn't went to school, if you were clever, if you're good at sports, if you weren't. God had a plan for you. And he had a plan for Luke, okay? So Luke wrote the life of Jesus, and he had a purpose, right? So every book, say the Gospels, right? Every one of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Adults, we use the word like the author had an agenda, but that just means he had a plan and he wanted something to teach us. So in Luke, the reason he wrote Luke was to teach us something about God, and it was to teach us about the life of Jesus, how he lived, and how he was perfectly human, but also the perfect saviour. Okay? Because in those days, they thought God was this amazing person who was far off. Okay? And he was too perfect, you couldn't know him. He was too holy, he was too amazing, you could just kind of cower and be fearful of him. Okay? And Luke was Greek, and Greek people believed that the gods didn't even care about you. that they just did their thing and your whole job was just trying to figure out what they wanted and be afraid of them. So that's how Luke grew up. So he grew up hearing about gods that didn't care about you. And then he met Jesus. And Jesus is different to every other holy man or God that ever lived, because he cares deeply about people and he cares deeply about every single person and what's happening to them and what's happening in their lives. Now, if you grew up going to church or your mum and dad know about God, you think, yeah, God loves me. I know that. But if you haven't, if you don't know that, if you think God is a God who doesn't care about everything that's going on in your life, imagine meeting a God, like the God in heaven, cares about you. And that changed everything for Luke. He realized that God cared about him. And how Jesus lived his life showed everybody around him that God wasn't a God far off who laughed at you and cursed you and did things like that. God was a loving God who wanted to walk with you, and if something was important to you, it was important to him. If you were worried about something, he was worried about it. And how Jesus lived his life taught that, and that's why Luke wrote all those stories, so we would know. And for the adults, most of Luke chapter 9 through to 18 is not repeated anywhere else in the Gospels. It's the only part of the Gospels where you will learn about the humanness of Christ, about how much he cared, and that he wasn't just a distant God waiting for you to trip up so he could curse you, but he was a God who was loving and cared for you. So, Jesus spoke in stories. I used the word earlier. Does anybody remember the stories, what type they're called? They begin with pa. That's a really good feast, that's a good answer, but it's not the one I'm looking for. Parable.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody say parable.
Parable.
Adults, say parable.
Parable.
Kids, can you go louder? Say parable.
Parable!
I think we have a clear winner, okay? So a parable is a story that has another meaning behind it to teach us. Remember I said that? So we said a couple of parables. But ones we're going to look at today are about when things get lost. Hands up if you've ever lost anything. Jamie's like, I've never lost anything. I'm a beacon of responsibility. His mom's like, yes, that's my son. Right, so, do you know what? Do you want to know something really important that I lost?
What?
Like, really important. So, who knows what happens when someone wants you to get married to them? What do they do? Jamie? They propose. And they give you something when they propose. What do they give you? A ring. And like a nice ring, isn't it? Like, not just one of those ones you get like in a suite or something that's plastic. Like, they have to save a bit of money and they, you know, they can get like diamonds or ruby or something. Well, do you know what? I lost my engagement ring. I lost my engagement ring and my wedding ring. Now, I don't have a lot of jewellery, right? So it's not like I'm not dripping in jewels. Like, it was the one thing. Even growing up, I never had jewellery. It's the one thing I had, right? And I wasn't even that big. And one day, it was snowing. And the snow was up to my waist. And what happens when you're snowing? You kind of, everything shrinks in your coat. And I tripped and I fell in our back garden, right? And my rings came off into the snow, right? But it was dark, okay, and I didn't realise. Then I go back in the house, and then I realise hours later when it's pitch black outside that my rings had fallen off my hand. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to have to tell Andy. Like, we're not rich people. He had to work a long time for that. And I lost it. And I thought, I better tell him. Now, if you've met my husband Andy, he's lovely. You know, your dad, he's not. I'm highly strong. I'll scream and shout and let my feelings out, but he's like, it's okay. Thank God. So I called all my friends when the snow went away. We couldn't go out even when the snow stayed for a few days, right? Couldn't see anything and it was white gold. You know, ladies, what that'd be like. Couldn't see anything. So we got CSI Miami. We just divided the garden up, right? Because I really, really wanted these rings, okay? I had no other ones. We couldn't go buy other ones. We had no more money to get more jewels, right? And they weren't even that expensive, but I loved them, right? And so what we did is we divided up the garden into squares. We went to a place that had metal detectors. Do you ever see them? Right, you did. All my friends came. We looked like we were looking for a dead body on the CSI things, right? So we worked for 4 weeks. We looked in our back garden. No, I didn't live in the country. It was only a small back garden. Right? We couldn't find them. They were gone. So we hours. I prayed. I was like, God, please, you know, all good things from God, please. God, if I ask you, you'll give me, you know, everything, all the prayers, everything. If you told me to stand on my head for 3 weeks, I would have done that for 3 weeks to find rings. If you could guarantee I'd find my rings. And I didn't find them. How do you think I felt? Happy. Oh, I was very sad. And I still have never found it. And it still makes me sad when I think about it. And I feel really silly.
I didn't know.
No. Well, I got this one. Okay. It's a bit smaller. And it's just it's a symbol of the other ones. Because, do you know what happens? Mom and dads are really like, they have kids and the kids take all their money. Yeah, it does. So like, you can't go, I'll go buy money on more rings because I have to feed my kids. But I was so sad. And I still get a little bit sad. It's only something small, it doesn't matter. I still have Andy and you know, it's only symbols. But I just remember how that feels. And during the week, I was reading a story that that Luke wrote about Jesus in Luke. Okay, so if you go to your Bible when you go home, and you open up it, the Gospels are in the New Testament, and it goes Matthew, Mark, Luke. Okay, and we're going to look at chapter 15, which is the big number, and we're going to go about it. Right, and so there's three stories about lost things. One is about lost sheep. How many has ever lost a sheep? No one, okay, good, no farmers in the house today. And a lost coin. And then, which is kind of like losing my ring. And then the lost son, which is about when, like, a son kind of left home. Oh, did you? Oh, were you all right? Obviously, we found you. Yeah. It's scary, though, isn't it?
I got lost in Aldi.
You got lost in Aldi. Well, you know, if I was in the middle aisle, I'd pick you up because you'd be a deal, wouldn't you? Yeah, I take him home. Look what I got. Can you imagine, Andy? I got another son. We have another one. Yeah. Okay, we're going to have a time of prayer and repentance afterwards for the parents who don't know how to look after their children. But there's three stories, right? And so the first one, again, is with the lost sheep. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's saying one thing. He goes, I am a good shepherd, right? So if I have 100 sheep, okay, and I lose one, I'm going to leave the 100 and I'm going to go find the one who's on their own. Okay, and that's a bit mad because, like, yeah, look, but he's a shepherd of sheep, so if he finds cows, he obviously belongs to a different part of different farmer who looks after cows. So we're going to find sheep, right? So, why did he say that? And he said, everybody else would say, that's madness. Stay with the 99. Keep them safe. And don't go after the one. But God is different. Okay? It's all right, guys. It's your right to stay there. Now, listen. It's okay. I am used to children. This is fine, right? So what we do is we electrocute anybody who tries to leave. Okay? I'm only messing. I won't do that. Right. So the 100. If you were a shepherd, would you leave the 100? Would you leave the 99 and go for the one, or would you just stay with the 99 and say, all right, lads, you went and got yourself lost. I'm not going to go after you. What do you think you'd do? That is like the wise thing to do. Because what happens if something happens to your 99 when you're off looking for the one?
I just look because
they help you follow the
sheep.
The thing is, two things. We are better together. Okay? You are more in danger if you're on your own. If you have people, or if you're a sheep, because God uses a picture of saying, my followers are like my sheep. If you're on your own, you're in danger. If you're with other believers, you're safer. And that's why we say, look, join a church. Be part of a community. You can't do this on your own. We're called to be together. Yeah, and we need our friends who believe in God to teach us. Yeah, And the other thing is, it says, Jesus said this in thing. Why does he say? He goes, heaven rejoices when the one is found. Because every single person is important, not just the group. I'm going to say every single person is important, not just the group. And the next one I'm going to read, right? So chapter 15, verse 8. Suppose there's a woman who has 10 silver coins. Hands up who has any money on in their bank account or in their money box. Right, so 10 gold coins is quite a lot of money, right? So another way, I got a ring when I got married. In those times, the Palestinian women, they got 10 gold coins. And so one, they meant money, they were financial, but they're also emotional and symbolic because it meant that it reminded you of when you got married, okay? And imagine she said, suppose she loses her one coin out of her 10. She wouldn't say, oh, well, I have 9. She says, won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call to her friends and neighbours and say, rejoice with me because I found my lost coin. In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. Okay, guys, that was pretty good. Okay, so what happens? Who's listening? And did she just go, oh, I have 9, I don't need any more? Yeah, and she just, so the houses they used to live in were cold and dark with no light. So it wasn't easy to find a gold coin. You're talking about darkness, you're talking about tricky, you're talking about a lot of effort, you're talking about a lot of work to find that one coin. And you could say, why bother? Good analogy, yes, very good. So, the thing is, God cares about the tricky situations. And we could say, oh sure, like I've helped so many people. I've led people to the Lord. I've told people about God. I can't be doing it anymore. But God says, he won't stop. We should not stop. If heaven rejoices in the one, why shouldn't we? If heaven rejoices in the hard work of the one, why shouldn't we? As I get older, I'm a bit lazy. The thought of cleaning a house and looking for one coin, I'd be like, I have 9 grand. So it's speaking to me today that sometimes I need to be reminded what's important to God should be important to me. And he never gives up. God never gives up on the one. And there's two ways of being lost. You can be lost, like in a supermarket or in somewhere. You're physically lost. But you can be lost in the fact that you don't know God. And you may have known God, but different things have come in and you've kind of gotten a bit waylaid and you've lost your spark and you've forgotten your true love. And I'm not talking about romantic true love, kissy, kissy, huggy, huggy. I'm talking about a real love. That God loves you, that you're accepted, that you know that he has a plan for you, and that you need to come back to your first love. And I find the longer I'm walking with the Lord, without even meaning to, sometimes I've just kind of got lost in myself, in my worries, in my pains and unanswered prayers and letdowns and churches, Christians, family, you name it. We all have our own list, yeah? But sometimes we have to admit that maybe we've lost something. And we need to be as zealous and as serious and as determined as that woman looking for her coin. In one part of your life, when you walk with God, you may be fine. You may have all your 9 coins in a row, but you know yourself you're missing one. And this is really complicated stuff for you guys to remember. And I know it's hard when stories have 2 meanings. But I want you to maybe go home, and if you have a Bible, read it yourself and you pray, God, show me what you want me to get out of this. And if you don't have a Bible, come and talk to me and I'll get you a Bible, okay? So who thinks that they are going to be, has the determination to find something that is lost? Just 2. These are going to get a lot of eggs. Because it's not going to be easy. There's going to be easy bits and there's going to be hard bits because that's life. Yes, Jamie's ready? Right. So we're going to do something. But before we go, I want to pray for the adults because sometimes adults need a bit of prayer. Is that all right? Is that okay? Can I ask you guys to pray for them as well? So we're going to stand up. Come stand beside me. So we're going to, come around this side as well. Okay, so we do this thing sometimes in our church, right? So some people like you standing beside them and praying with them. Can I use you? Is that okay? Like this? But sometimes people like to just be in their own space. But God doesn't matter whether you're close to someone or far away from them, someone, your prayer is just to listen to. Amen? Amen. So we're going to all pray for all the adults. Is that all right? Yeah. So I want to show you something. It's kind of like Iron Man, Sam. Are you with me? Ready? So we're going to put our hands out. Right? And we're going to pray for the adults, okay? We're going to pray that if they have lost something of their walk with God, or if they don't know God, that they would feel God and meet him in a new way today. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to say a prayer, and then when I say amen, I want you to say amen. Is that everybody with me?
Amen.
Okay. Dear God, I thank you for every single person who's here today. God, you wanted them here today. You destined that they would be here today, Lord. And I pray that during the week, that they keep on remembering the story of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And God, it would cause every single person here to look inside themselves and just connect with you and ask you, Lord God, what part of me am I missing that needs to connect with you, Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind, this week?
Yes.
We say, Lord God, we need you, Jesus,
yes,
in every area of our life. Even if the 9 are okay, we need you in the 10.
Yeah.
And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen. Amen.